And what about the principals?
Yes, what do they make out of all the excitement going on here at Tanglewood? Let's find out.
Tom Rolfe is principal trumpet of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and the Boston Pops. He joined the BSO trumpet section in 1991, serving first as fourth trumpet and later as associate principal trumpet. He was a Tanglewood Music Center Fellow in 1978.
And James Somerville is principal horn of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, a position he's held since 1998. He's also a music director of the Hamilton Philharmonic Orchestra.
It is wonderful to have them both here on the roundtable. Tom Rolfe and James Somerville, thank you very, very much for being with us. Great pleasure.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
So what's the harder instrument to play, the trumpet or the... I'm going to ask Andres about this, too, or the horn. What, you can't hear the question?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Yeah, I've always thought that, you know, here's this... little tiny, you can hear, even the best orchestras in the world, every once in a while you'll hear a flub by the horn, more so than the trumpet. Is that not true?
No, is that true? I'm not sure. I think, you know, when people ask me if something is, you know, you play a piece of music and they ask, is that hard to play?
Yeah.
And, you know, the solution to that question for me is, if my lip feels good, everything's easy. If my lip feels swollen or bad, everything's hard. So.
Well, how do you do something like the Mahler when your lip is swollen? I mean, it seems almost impossible to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun. It's really uncomfortable, actually.
That's something that I always tell my students, because I teach at the New England Conservatory, and we have a lot of very advanced students there. And I tell them that when they're having a good day, a lot of them, I tell them they sound as good as I do. You know, sometimes even they do things better than I do. But when they're having a bad day, they sound a lot worse than I do. So a big part of professionalism in general on an instrument is to make your bad days sound so much like your good days that no matter how much you're struggling, nobody really knows.
So what is the worst thing that ever happened to you while you were playing with an orchestra and put the horn up to your lips, and then you have a story to tell us, don't you?
Well, you know, this is how you become a successful brass player, by having a very short memory about those kinds of things. So, you know, the bad things that happen, you just kind of let them slide and imagine that they're flying off into space out, you know, up by Pluto somewhere by now, and it's all done and over, and that's the next note that you have to think about.
But has the blood ever actually come down over the mouthpiece?
None of those whiplash moments that you saw in that movie, no?
It has for me, actually.
Has it?
And I have a list of three concerts which I wish I could forget, and I wake up in the middle of the night thinking of them. So it's my private list, which I'm not going to share with you. And I have had blood coming over my.
And what's the secret? Spirit of camphor, or what do you do after that happens, knowing you have to play another concert?
In that instance, I had to take a couple days off.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What is it about the? I mean, obviously, I'm struck by what you were saying of you know, having those bad days match, so that nothing, it just seems it's all on the same plane. Was there a point where you realized you were there, that okay, this is what I'm going toward, that I have to bring this, that I have to work through whatever adversity?
I wouldn't say for myself that there was ever an aha moment when I figured something out immediately, or I realized that I had crossed a threshold in that way to being professional. I mean, it's, you know, I had good teachers, I trained hard, and my first professional job, which was in Halifax, Nova Scotia, I remember being abjectly terrified absolutely every day. And sure, you know, that feeling that I think most musicians have when they go into a job, that you fooled everybody, and how long are they going to keep, how long is the fakery going to go on until someone figures out, wait a second, he can't really play. What is he doing here?
I do think with young players, many times they think that they should feel good every day, and a brass player does not feel good every day. In fact, many days it's this little, you know, that red thing that you talk of, and it's not really made to have a piece of metal slammed up against it.
Well, what do you do? I mean,
you have to tough it out, and you might have to play in ways that are not good habits, and just, you know, try to get the music out and not expect it to feel good every day.
Now, looking at both of you, I noticed that James has thinner lips than you do.
Really? Do
you
I,
see? You see that? And you don't have.
I
fat,
never really looked
you,
at
you,
James.
You don't
James's
have.
Lips,
you so. Don't have fat lips, but he has.
Thank you. Is that a good thing or a bad
no,
thing?
No, it's you have just right. Like,
can I go get coffee?
Way. Yeah, I'm getting really uncomfortable.
But how much does embouchure count in playing one of these instruments?
It counts for a lot. I would say that, you know, if you were to line up to whatever, like 100 French horn players from big orchestras, there is a broad range of just the physical makeup of, you know, your the straightness of your teeth and the size of your lips, like you're saying. Sure. There's a range, but there, you know, when you get to the extremes, then it becomes more of a challenge, and people have to develop a sort of idiosyncratic technique, and it's a little more, you know, you have to find your own way. But there have been some great French horn players who have, you know, like big lips, small teeth, or crooked teeth, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
You could also vary the mouthpiece. The mouthpieces have different, the rims have different shapes. The edge of the rim has there's a different shape. It could be a deeper mouthpiece. But I haven't really noticed any, like, trend. I mean, I know incredible players with large lips that play tiny mouthpieces, which is counterintuitive. You would think it'd be just the opposite.
So one last question here. Here we have Anders Nelson, who is a brilliant conductor, but also comes out of the trumpet, right? And here you are, the principal trumpet player. Does that mean some kind of special communication between you
well,
and
I? When he was hired, I was trying to decide, okay, so I hear that he's a former trumpet player, and quite a good one from what I understand. So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I
wonder if this is a good thing. Will he be forgiving of all of my errors, or will he be more critical? It did cross my mind, but it's been really great, really wonderful so far.
Mm. What did you make of the... of the announcement yesterday of the contract extension? I saw that you were both commented on it.
It's a really positive thing for the orchestra, and it's a great for the relationship seems to be growing and getting better. Started in a really exciting way, and it just seems to be getting better as time goes on. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. James, you remember after 9/11, and we were talking about freedom fries and all the rest of it. Nobody wanted to mention the word French because everybody's mad at them. And I noticed that people were referring to the horn rather than the French horn a lot. I wonder if that has any validity to it. You know?
That predates.
Oh, you were kidding.
9/11. Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, French horn is a kind of a antiquated, specifically English name for the horn, which goes back to probably the 14th century when the French hunting traditions came over to England. And everywhere else in the world, we just say horn. And in the U.S., once people get out of high school band, people pretty much say horn. So that's been that way for quite a while.
Interesting. Very interesting. What's the most famous of the horn works? Is it Mozart? I mean, what would you say is the apex?
I mean, I would say, you know, like with every solo instrument, it's hard to pick one. You know, it's kind of like who's your favorite child. But it's hard not to say Mozart. I mean, because first of all, we have several concerti, and they're all great, and they're all, you know, to use your word, they represent the apex of technique, and especially of musical writing for the horn at that time. I mean, we're very lucky for as brass instruments, we probably have the most extensive solo repertoire. So we have two concertos by Strauss, we have Telemann, we have Hindemith, and a number of others, but Mozart, I think,
it's not even close. Actually, for trumpet, trombone, too, there's hardly anything at all. It's hardly. That's why when Holken comes to town, he's developed this repertoire for himself and by commissioning pieces, because we don't have the Mozarts and the Strausses.
Oh, that's interesting. The horn was a sort of Johnny Come Lately.
Yeah.
I mean the trumpet.
Johnny Come Lately. I wouldn't say that.
No.
It was always more of a field instrument back in the day, in the way, way back in the day, and it was a fanfare instrument and never really thought of as a solo instrument. There are, you know, the cornets, the great cornet tradition, around the turn of the around 1900, turn of the century, there were a lot of great cornet solos. But that's not really in the orchestra repertoire. That's brass band repertoire mostly.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Of the cornet, you go back and forth, or
I'll be playing cornet this weekend.
Okay. What's on tap for tonight for the two of you with Tanglewood on Parade?
Pardon me?
On tap for you tonight for Tanglewood on Parade?
We're going to do a little John Williams. We're going to do some Berlioz. Jamie has a solo, of course, because he plays French horn.
Proving our point.
So that's 1812 Overture.
Yeah, always the 1812.
Then the fellows are playing something. I think they're playing some John Williams music as well.
So it'll be a good night.
It'll be a lot of fun. Tanglewood on Parade is always a fun night.
Excellent. We are. We have to let you guys go because the rehearsal schedule has changed a little bit. So we know we have to get you over to the shed. For more information on the BSO, the Pops, and of course Tanglewood itself, visit bso.org. Tom and James, thank you so much for joining us. A great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.